Okay, I'm going to share something with you. One of my first memories in life is of me, maybe 3 or 4 years old, sitting in the backseat of my mom's car and hearing Prince's song, Little Red Corvette, blasting from the radio. It made me feel strange in a way that also felt exciting. Really, this is the only way I can describe it. And I've been a super fan ever since. It's also the way our next guest felt about Prince. Dan Pipenbring was a huge Prince fan when in 2016, he got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to co-write Prince's memoir with Prince. The two never finished. Prince died several months later. But Pipenbring used what Prince had written up, along with photos, handwritten notes, and other materials, to put together the book, The Beautiful Ones. Dan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Tanya. Really happy to be here.
Okay, so I couldn't do this segment without acknowledging how big of a fan I am. I think folks who know me would have a fit hearing me try to play it straight in this interview with you. But you were also a huge Prince fan, too, as I mentioned, when this opportunity to co-write this book presented itself. And at the time, you were with the publication, The Paris Review, and you had never written a memoir before. Why do you think Prince chose you?
That's a great question, and there's always going to be a little bit of mystery surrounding it, I think, because Prince, of course, is a mysterious man and not one who's liable to be so explicit about things like this. I think what maybe led him to embrace someone like me who had never done anything like this before was that I tried to be as open as possible to writing a book that was in no way going to be a conventional memoir. Of course, Prince, being a man of grand ambitions, could not settle for a mere autobiography. He wanted something that would break the mold of the genre and that would have people talking. And I think even more than that, that would inspire people, especially young Black creatives, musicians, artists, to make art that they felt had no debt to anyone, that was truly one of a kind.
You know, one of the things that strikes me are the details Prince wrote for the book, the depths he went to paint this really detailed picture of his mother and father growing up, and more specifically, his relationship with them. I mean, for those who follow Prince, this is kind of significant because for so long there was this crafted image of him. I think the closest we got was the movie Purple Rain, which for a long time a lot of people actually thought was a true story. It was not.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he wanted to write about his parents at this time in his life?
I think, like many of us, as Prince grew older, he was more aware of himself as his parents' son. I think he really regarded his parents as the two poles of his being. They were always inside of him, both of them kind of competing for the primary role. So on one side, you have his father, a very disciplined man, dedicated with an unimpeachable work ethic. On the other hand, you have his mother, a much more spontaneous woman, someone who's almost irrepressibly free, who doesn't want anyone telling her what to do or why or when. You see both of these in Prince. I mean, that work ethic is absolutely there. When you think about the song, The Beautiful Ones, I've read that he recorded that song in a single 17-hour session.
Mm.
And he's recording all of the parts by himself. He's writing the lyrics, he's writing the music, he's doing the mixing. I don't think he could have done something like that without that part of his father and him really pushing him to keep at it. When you hear the kind of emotion in it, the kind of unfettered emotion, that puts me in mind of his mother.
What's it gonna be, baby? Do you want him? Do you want me? 'Cause I want you.
This book is heavy, like it literally weighs like a pound.
It does. The paper's really thick. It's great for, you know, if you've got a burglar in the house, you know, just reach for the beautiful ones and you can.
Yeah, you know what to reach for. But was that intentional? Was there some sort of other symbol or reason for that beyond the beautiful pictures that are in the book?
I think we just wanted it to be an object that was worthy of having his name on the cover. And we needed to present these these artifacts, for lack of a better word, in full color with as much kind of respect as we could surround them with. And I think because there is a kind of hole at the center of the book, this sort of beautiful question of what could have been, it's almost a book about a hypothetical book, it really had to have this majesty to it. Mm-hmm. He's royalty after all.
Yes. In addition to these descriptions of his childhood, there are also lots of musings about the music. For instance, in talking about the song Do Me Baby, he said, quote, "Everybody can point to at least one song that is their jam and nobody else's. The first time I knew I'd written one of those jams was Do Me Baby." Thinking back to his parents and what he had written about his parents, you'd also learn that his parents' divorce played a big role in shaping him and influenced his music as well.
Because his parents' divorce lived so strongly within him and really registered, I think, as one of the primary traumas of his life, he felt that he had this very ready access to heartbreak. And I remember him saying, because he could be very funny too, of course, he would mime receiving a phone call from someone like a butler or something who had just heard one of his breakup songs. And he'd say, "Well, sir, the flowers are dead. You've killed them." That was something he was very proud of. He could write a love song or a breakup song that would kill the flowers.
One thing that stood out to me that really comes through in this book, I don't even know if this is the right way to say it, but this sense of gender fluidity and Prince's appreciation for both the feminine and masculine energy within himself.
Yes.
I'm thinking about this time we're in now where we're talking about defying gender roles. How did Prince, if at all, describe this to you?
Prince regarded himself as a man. He would always speak to me about his masculinity. I know that it was certainly imbued with large swaths of a feminine spirit, or what he would call the feminine principle, which he thought underlied every solid community that he had ever encountered. He felt that it was always the women in a community who were really looking out for one another, who had each other's backs. The masculine would be a much more competitive, testosterone-driven energy given to sundering things rather than uniting them. And you're right, I think he felt both of those within him. I do sometimes wonder, had he been born in 2019, for instance, would he have been what we call gender fluid? But to my mind, he was always a man, just one with an unusually acute sense of the feminine and a real gift, I think, for crossing a bound that too many men are reluctant to cross.
Yeah, I think he said in the book to you, or he had written that he always feels at ease if there's a woman in the room.
That's right. And even when he would ask me to transcribe these pages he had written, he was like, "Well, if you're not going to do it yourself, I would prefer that you get a woman to do it." Really, that's another reason why I didn't think I was going to get the job, that I wasn't a woman. Mm. You know, I was just a 29-year-old white guy from Brooklyn. It seemed like on every possible level, it wasn't going to be me. So I try never to predict what Prince would do or say or think or feel, because he really was unpredictable in that way.
There were so many questions you had that you didn't have a chance to answer. When you talked to Prince about his memoir, he also mentioned his performance at the Super Bowl halftime show in 2007 as something he wanted to include in the book that obviously didn't happen. But what parts of his life do you particularly maybe wish you could have explored with him?
That's certainly one of them. I know that he regarded that Super Bowl show as a kind of summit, or maybe a return to a summit he had been to before. And to see him playing Purple Rain in the Rain, I mean, it did seem like an almost divine moment. So, of course, I would have wanted to ask him about that. And of course, the death of his child, too. He and his first wife, Maite, lost a child when the baby was only a few days old. I've always wondered what he made of it. To me, it seems like the great kind of unprocessed event of his life, something that must have been just utterly wrenching to him. And I just wondered, after so many years had passed, what he would make of it. That's one of many things that I wish I could have gotten him on the record about.
Dan Pippenbring is the editor of the new Prince memoir, The Beautiful Ones. Dan, thank you.
Thank you.
Purple. Purple rain.